This will be our fifth week studying the first three kings of Israel. And for this five-year period, we'll see this mixture of Saul and David at the same time. So Saul has been rejected twice from being king for what sin? Anybody remember? The same sin twice, which was, who knows? What was the sin? Jackie? Disobedience. Both cases, it was for disobedience. God gave him explicit instructions and he disobeyed. And God rejected him twice from being king. And then in chapter 16, God sent Samuel to anoint the new king early. And that, of course, was the youngest son of Jesse, which was David. And he was goodly to look at. He was ruddy. We saw there in verses 13 and 14 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, but departed from Saul. And in the Old Testament, this is how it worked. The Spirit of God would come on people, and the Spirit of God would leave people. And at this point, David is about 25, and Saul is about 75 years old. And so then, once the Spirit of God departed from Saul, an evil spirit came and began to trouble him. And so they sought for a musician. And in the entire kingdom of Israel, who did they find who could play well on a harp but David to come? And when he played, the evil spirit departed. And Saul was relieved for a time of the evil spirit. So that brings us here to chapter 17, where the Israelites are in constant battles with the Philistines for basically Saul's entire reign. And this is another example, except this time we see that Goliath is involved. Last week we saw how tall he was. Everybody remember? So I had Isaiah stand on the stage, and I stood beside him, and that would have been how tall he was compared to a normal person. See, I didn't have to get you involved, Cash. He was 9.5 feet tall. His coat weighed 57 kilograms. And his spearhead weighed 7 kilograms. So, big man, very powerful. And that's where we find ourselves here in chapter 17. Did we read any of 17 last week? I don't think we did. I just brought Goliath up. So let's go ahead and look at Goliath. Mr. Scott, if you want to do 1 to 11, and then we'll pray.
Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochar, which belonged to Judah. It's between Shochar and Azekah, and in face of them. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear skin weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of to Saul? Choose you a man for you to let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. But Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid.
So not only was Israel afraid, but notice Saul is specifically mentioned there in verse 11. that even he was dismayed and greatly afraid. So let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we study your word. And Lord, just may we continue to learn from the lives of these men what you want from us as your servants. And Lord, what you don't want from us. And I pray that Jesus Christ will be magnified and guide us in truth now. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So he defied the armies. And David, verse 12, it says, he had 8 sons, and the man went among the man for an old man of the days of Saul. And it says, the 3 eldest sons went and followed Saul to the battle. So David's 3 eldest brothers were part of this army that was basically just on one side of the valley. This is how it worked in Bible days. It's not really a war yet, is it? They're just standing on opposite sides of the valley, waiting for the next thing to happen. And so David, of course, as it says there in verse 14, was the youngest. And now we understand why he was back home. Because in verse 15, I think Maggie asked this question last week, he had returned. So remember, he was with Saul, playing his music, helping to calm his spirit from the evil spirit. But in verse 15, it says, after that, he had returned back home and was feeding his father's sheep in Bethlehem. We've all heard of Bethlehem. Amazing, isn't it? That of all the towns, David's from Bethlehem. And 1,000 years later, someone very important is going to be born there. Amen? So this went on. Notice verse 16. For 40 days. So for 40 days, they didn't fight. They just stayed on opposite sides of the valley. And Goliath would come out and challenge them. 40 days. This went on. And so then Jesse sends his son David to check on his brothers and bring them some food, as we see there in verse 17. And we'll see how his brothers handled it. So let's see. Howard, if you could do 17 down to...
Mm-hmm. 24. And Jesse answered David his son, take me out for thy brethren and heifer for this patch of corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000, and look how they thy brethren fear and take their flesh. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the people, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked to them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the army of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid.
And 25, if you would, sorry.
And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel does he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with that great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel.
So now we find how David ended up back at the battle. He had been back home feeding his father's sheep, or taking care of his father's sheep, and his father sends him to check on his brothers, bring them some food, and he gets to observe Goliath defying the armies of Israel. And so that brings us to 26 to 29, where we see David's reaction. So, Britt, could you read that for us?
And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, and he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, For Eliab's anger kindled against David, and said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Thou art come down, thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause?
Wow, siblings have always been the same, eh? Even 3,000 years ago. His oldest brother, the naughtiness of thine heart. You just came down here because you wanted to see the battle. You need to go back home, take care of those few sheep. You shouldn't even be here. But look at David's response in verse 29. We're starting to see the heart of David. Is there not a cause? What a great statement. Amen? Is there not a cause? Is it not worth fighting against these Gentiles that are defying God, Almighty God, the God of Israel? And of course, there is a cause. Amen? And so then we see David's faith start to shine through. So Roy, if you could do 32 to 37. Oh, I forgot 30, sorry. 30 to 37.
And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And so said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with you.
We have the entire army afraid to take on Goliath, and this young man comes, says, Is there not a cause? And then we've read this already, but recites how by faith, he's not taking credit. He's giving God the credit, but by faith, he's already killed a lion and a bear to protect his father's flock. And he said, this Philistine will be like the lion and the bear. I'll fight him. I might be young. I might not be a professional soldier. I might just be a shepherd boy who can play well in a harp, but I'll fight him. And Saul initially said, You're too young. But eventually he said, Go. So we can already see this faith, can't we, in David, that we don't see in any of the rest of the army. No one else is willing to fight Goliath. David says, I'll go. And so that's where we come upon the armor issue here. So verses 38 down through, how far should we go? Well, we should do a lot. Because we're going to get to see the good news, which you've all read before, through 51. So, Mr. Zeus, could you read that for us? 38 to 51.
And so found David with his armor. And he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he assayed to David, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved thee. And David put them forth him. And he took his staff from his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host to the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came drew nigh to meet David, and David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and his stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled.
That's good.
That's good?
Yep. So, what do we see in this passage relative to David? Isn't it fascinating that there's probably a million Israelites at this point, maybe more, maybe 2 million, and yet the two main characters in this story are the first and the second king of Israel. It's fascinating. But what do we see in David when he decides to take on the giant? What do we see as far as his faith? I mean, he's talked about his childhood and the bear and the lion, but what else do we see in this passage? Why is he so confident that he's going to be able to take this giant? Yes?
He puts his trust in the Lord.
Exactly. He's talking all about God, God's ability, God's power, God's glory. He's not saying anything about his own abilities, his own power, his own strength. He's only talking about the Lord. He's saying it's the God who you are, the God of Israel, whom you are defying. And then at the end of verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Yes, Mark?
I think it's quite amazing, this sort of a parallel where David and his brothers and fathers grew up in the same family, and David seems to have more trust and faith in God, whereas his brothers maybe not. You know, in a sense,
yeah.
It comes down to the individual, in a sense, and where they place him. I suppose how much we put into our own physical size or strength as opposed to trusting in the Lord. So even in a family, as people probably know, their family has some of don't believe, and some do believe. Rhyme or reason, we probably don't know, but that's sort of an individual, sort of an interesting side point.
It is, that his brothers were cowering with everyone else, and their baby brother shows up and says, I'll take on the giant. But why did God choose David? Remember, chapter 16, man looketh on the outward appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. God knew the heart of David. And that's why he chose him. Saul wasn't chosen because of his heart, was he? He was chosen because he was tall, good looking, beautiful hair. David was chosen because of his heart. And this is a lesson for all of us. But David's trust is, notice verse 47, the battle is the Lord's. Isn't that good? This battle that we're about to face, you and me, Goliath, this is not my battle. This is the Lord's battle, because I am trusting him completely to win this for me. So David is not saying, I've had so much practice with my slingshot, which obviously he had. He's not trusting in that. He's trusting in the Lord. This is God's battle. We see so much faith here. And I love it that verse 48, he didn't wait. He ran toward the giant. That's faith, isn't it? That's putting feet to your faith. It's one thing to say, I trust God. It's another thing to say, I trust God, and here I go. Straight into the battle against a guy that's more than 3 feet taller than me and huge. And he didn't even have a sword on. He had to use the giant sword to take his head off. So any other thoughts or questions before we move on? So far as Saul goes, the only thing that we've seen is the two episodes of disobedience. But he's been very kind to David up to this point. And we saw he wanted David to stay longer when he played music for him. It's going to happen again. Everything's been going quite well in that interaction between the two of them up to this point. Is that going to change? Yes, and we'll see why. But thoughts or questions up to this point? As we see David and Saul, yes.
Yes, so I'm just giving maybe... Israel used a lot of their own... So the nation of Israel today, when they've gone and fought wars, they used some of the military tactics that are in the Old Testament, which is kind of irrelevant to what we're saying, but it's just an amazing point that when, say, Israel's leaders... You know, when they were fighting the 1967 war, they used some of these tactics, which is, as you're saying, advancing forward on attack and really, so that's the side point.
Israel should not have been able to win that war. I don't know if you know much about it. That's kind of a side note, but they were way outnumbered. But they did win. And remember, they're still God's chosen people. They may not have accepted the Messiah, but they are still God's chosen people. They're still descendants of Abraham and of David, and they will still get their kingdom. And God is still watching over them as a nation and preserving them as a nation, such that there will still be Jews available to go into the kingdom. As much as Satan has tried to wipe them out, that'll never happen. Anyway, where do we finish? Verse 51. So, 54 to 58, James, if you would.
And David took the heel of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, Is thy soul of the king? I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire those whose son was stripling this. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him, and he brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of our servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.
This was the quandary we were discussing last week when Maggie asked her questions as to why Saul seems to not recognize him or know who he is, even though he's already played the music for him. But if there's been a little bit of a time gap there, and maybe David looks different because he's not in music mode, he's in war mode. I don't know. Because it does show that he had left and gone back home to take care of the sheep, and now he's come back again, and Saul almost acts like he doesn't recognize him. That's one of those quandaries, if you will. Yes, Tanya? He obviously just didn't, because of the two different contexts, he just didn't recognize him. Maybe he got a haircut. Who knows? But let's go to chapter 18, 1 to 4, and see where this new friendship develops between David and Saul's son. So, Cash, if you could do those four verses.
And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was in it of the soul of David, and Jonathan held him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle.
So a lot of wicked people have tried to make this something that it isn't, obviously. But they just became very close friends, David and Jonathan. Saul's son. And of course, Jonathan would have been very wealthy because he's the son of the king. And he gave David his garments, his sword, his bow, his girdle. But did you notice verse 2? Saul also now loves David and wants him around. He's the king. He has ultimate say. And he says, you're not allowed to go back to your father's house anymore. You're going to stay with me. You're going to stay in my house. So all has been good between the two of them up to this point. Amen? Saul has disobeyed. He's lost his kingdom over his disobedience. He's still the king and will still be the king for another 4 years or so. But this next 4 years will be a bit harrowing for David, as we all know. So thoughts or questions, it's a good place to stop. Next week we start into Saul's next serious sin, which is, anybody know? Starts with a J? E-A? Jealousy. Jealousy. What a dangerous sin that is. And we will see Saul now begin to develop amazing jealousy toward David to the point of trying to kill him. Sadly. Thoughts or questions before we close? So do we see the two different hearts? One's a man after God's own heart. One isn't. Amen? The first king, not a man after God's own heart. The second king, already pre-chosen, still has to go through 4 or 5 years of amazing trials. Why would that be? Why would God say, you're already the king, I've already chosen you, I've already anointed you, but first you need to go through 4 or 5 years of attacks? Why would God do that? Any thoughts before he becomes the king? I think we all know the answer, but what is the answer? Somebody, raise their hand. Yes, Beryl? Okay, good. Are trials good for us? So we're going to learn that. David went through a lot of trials before he became king. A lot of attacks, being chased all across the countryside. But that was God's will. God could have just killed Saul at this point, right? Once he became jealous, but he didn't. He allowed David to go through all of this, as we'll see, to do what? To prepare David to be king. To refine him, to test him. God does the same in our lives as we seek to serve him. Any other